Freeze Frame by Peter May continued. Disc 7.
Enzo caught the attention of the barman and ordered another 2 glasses of beer. Cohen waited until he had a fresh glass in his hand before he continued.
He was interested to see any photographs we had of Fleischer.
And you were able to show him some?
I let him see some of those we had in the file. Fleischer was still a young man then, of course. Killian spent a long time looking at them, and then asked if he could keep them.
You gave him copies?
No, monsieur, I did not. He was very disappointed. But we were not prepared to let them pass into general circulation.
Did he see why he was so interested in Fleischer?
No. He wouldn't tell me.
Did you arrive at any conclusions about that yourself?
It seemed to me pretty clear that he thought he had found Fleischer and was looking for some way to confirm his identity.
But you didn't take that too seriously.
No, monsieur. We used to be inundated with claimed sightings. Most of them, of course, were either fanciful or malicious. Besides, Fleischer was dead.
He paused, swirling his beer around in his glass, staring into the bubbles that foamed to the surface.
He wanted to know if we had any other means of confirming Fleischer's identity, other than photographic comparison, that is.
And did you?
Cohen raised his eyes to scrutinize the Scotsman's face, hesitating for a moment as if pondering whether or not to respond with the truth. Finally he said,
"Yes, we did."
He paused.
"And still do."
"How?"
"At Mauthausen, monsieur, there was a young prisoner who had trained as a hairdresser. He was assigned to cut the hair of the SS officers who ran the camp, and because he made such a good job of it, they kept him alive. An older prisoner, a lecturer in science at the University of Vienna before the war, persuaded him to smuggle out a lock of hair from each of the officers. These were preserved, notated, dated, and hidden. The old professor believed they would provide an ideal way of proving the identity of these criminals after the war."
Enzo nodded. For decades, examination of hair under a comparison microscope had provided forensic scientists with a good, although not foolproof, basis for identifying both victims and criminals.
"And he was right. Although the old professor did not survive the camps himself, the young barber and his hair clippings did, and they were used, along with photographic evidence and eyewitness accounts, to convict several war criminals in the years that followed."
"And you still have a sample of Fleischer's hair?"
"We do. Monsieur Killian and I went on to exchange several letters on the subject. He was anxious to ascertain that the hair would be available for scientific testing, if requested."
Enzo sat back in his chair and raised his eyes toward the ceiling. Suddenly the note Killian had scribbled on the shopping list on the fridge door made absolute sense. "A bit of the flood will boil the feast," which, with the spoonerism reversed, translated as, "A fit of the blood will foil the beast." Somehow Killian had obtained a DNA sample from the man he suspected to be Eric Fleischer. Although still in its infancy in 1990, DNA comparison was already being employed by forensic investigators to identify criminals. Killian had worked in the field of tropical medical genetics, so he would have been only too familiar with the technology. A simple comparison of mitochondrial DNA between the hair and the suspect would have provided definitive proof of identity.